Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Meditate today on Ezekiel 37, the passage we've heard a few moments ago, and the theme of hope for the hopeless. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that the very beginning you breathed life into us and gave us your Spirit to enrich us and invigorate us. We pray that today as we hear your word, you would do the same thing, that you would come to us and inspire us and encourage us, fill us with faith and fill us with love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The elephant graveyard from Disney's The Lion King is a place that's always stuck with me ever since I first saw this movie as a child. This far-flung, forbidden place with these gigantic elephant bones scattered across a dry valley. This realm of darkness and danger. It was an eerie image. It was a scary image. At least I remember being scared by it as a child. I think that's partly the point of the place. Of course, the presence of Zazu always helped lighten the mood a little bit, but still the place evoked a certain sense worry even for me as a child. Now, you may not be a Lion King fan, but there may be other similar places and images in other films that evoke a similar sense. If you think of a classic war movie, you've got, you know, the battle's going on and the battle finishes, and the camera zooms back, pans back to see the battlefield. And it's often this kind of eerie image. It's quiet, it's still, but you see the armor and the weaponry and the fallen soldiers lying out there on the field. There's a sense of relief. You know, it's quiet, the battle is over, but there's a sense of sorrow about the toll that it's taken. Or perhaps even more confronting are the real images that we see on TV and online of actual battlefields or mass graves, things like that. It's fair to say that Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is supposed to be a similarly confronting image, at least at the beginning, that causes us to sit up and take notice of it. The Delta Rhythm Boys singing Dem Bones, Dem Bones, Dem Dry Bones, which, yes, is of course based on this text and is a delightful song, but perhaps doesn't give us the full sense of kind of the shocking nature of the beginning of this reading. Perhaps it acts a little bit like Zazu to lighten the mood, bring some comic relief, prepare us for the good outcome. But at the beginning, we need to be a little bit shocked by the Valley of Dry Bones. So, delving into the text, I want us to look at the Valley of Dry Bones, the rattling of restoration, that process, and then finally the breath of life at the end. The hand of the Lord was on me, writes Ezekiel, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Good answer. Now notice at the start that Ezekiel is placed or set in the middle of the valley of dry bones. He's not at a distance. He's not, at a tourist lookout gazing down at this valley. He's not taking a scenic helicopter ride over the top, you know, look down there and catch a glimpse. He's set in the middle of the valley of dry bones. It surrounds him. He's part of it. He's part of the picture. It's a very strong picture. And then God leads him actually back and forth, to and fro through it. It's like this guided tour of this valley of dry bones. Bible commentator Matthew Henry says, "Let us observe the deplorable nature of these bones. Not few, but many. Not piled up, but scattered about. Not buried, but exposed. Not moist, but dry." And he goes on. He's trying to say, you know, that there's graveyards and there's graveyards. And this picture is supposed to be a particularly sad and tragic vision that Ezekiel gets. Why is it supposed to be like that? Well, because it's a metaphor of Israel at the time. They were in exile in Babylon. They were scattered. They were dispirited. They were desperate. Their hopes of ever returning to their land, their hopes of ever being restored as a nation, were fading fast. It was a sad state of affairs. Son of man, can these bones live? God asks Ezekiel. Is there any hope for these bones? Any hope for these people? And Ezekiel knows that only God knows. Now, just stepping back from the picture for a moment, of course, it's not just about Israel. It's about Israel, and it's about Ezekiel, and it's about Lazarus, and it's about Mary, and it's about Martha, and it's about you, and it's about me. This image of the valley of dry bones. There are times, there are experiences in life that leave us dry and dispirited and even desperate. There are times in life when even the most hopeful people can begin to lose hope. And this was that kind of time for Israel. All of us by nature are in some sense exiled from God, and what sin does to us is set us in a valley of dry bones. And when you're in the midst of it, when it surrounds you, it can be hard to see any coming back from that, any hope in the middle of all that. And we can start to lose hope. But this vision is not one of hopelessness. In fact, the vision of the dry bones and the dryness of the bones is only there at the very beginning. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." The restoration, right? The rattling of restoration that we get in this text is interesting. It begins with the word of the Lord. It begins with Ezekiel's obedience to prophesy what he's commanded. And it begins with Israel's reception of that word, which is what had been lacking in Israel for so long, the reception of God and his word. And then, yes, repentance and renewal and restoration and recreation and everything else follows. But it's a rattly kind of process, noisy, gradual, messy in some respects, as things start to come back together. It reminds us that the restoration of hope is a process, and that we are part of that process before God, and that it can be a long process, and that we're a long-term project of God's, that these things don't happen in an instant. If you think about, you know, the question of when does God restore us to himself? When does he restore hope in our lives? You know, is it when he sends Jesus? Is it when Jesus lives a perfect life? Is it when Jesus dies a sacrificial death? Is it when Jesus rises triumphant from the grave? Is it when the word of Christ first comes to us? Is it when we first believe it? Is it when we're baptized? Is it when the word rattles around with us for a while and finally starts to sink in? Is it when we come to the altar, receive the body and blood of Christ? Yes, 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 yes. It's a process. And God is at work in this process. And sometimes it might be a process that takes many, many years and many, many moments. A word of encouragement here, faithful friend over there, the smile of a stranger, the faith of a fellow believer, the right Bible verse at just the right time. Two steps forward, one step back. This is the process of God restoring our hope time and time and time again. And it's his work, and he's very committed to it, and he's very serious about it. The restoration of Israel took time. The reversal of exile is not a quick process. You don't snap your fingers and move back to the land of, you know, Israel and Jerusalem, and everything's fine again. It doesn't happen like that. It's not real. The rattling of restoration. God assures us through this vision today that there is always hope. even when things seem hopeless, that no person and no situation is too far gone for God. That though the process may be a long one and a rattly one, that with God all things are possible. How are they possible? Brings us to the breath of life. The answer we get in the text is the breath of God. That's what makes all the difference. The Spirit of God. Prophesy to the breath, he says. Prophesy, Son of Man. Say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. If you go back to Genesis, you get God breathing his life into the first human beings that he made. You get God creating things through his word. And here in Ezekiel 37, you get the exact same thing. God breathing his life and giving his word to recreate, to reinvigorate the people of Israel. We know that bodies need bones and they need flesh if they're going to hold together. But bones and flesh need breath if they're actually going to live. And in the Bible, wind and breath and spirit is all the same word in the Old Testament. It's ruach. It's the life force of God. The life force that he breathes into us. And so God uses his Spirit and comes to Israel through his Spirit to reinvigorate them and recreate them so they are no longer dispirited people, but holy spirited people. Not the end of the Lion King, if I'm remembering it rightly. You have Simba like looking over the land that he's now ruling. And it's a barren wasteland. It's even worse than it was back there at the beginning of the movie. Because the hyenas have taken over and the whole thing's just in shambles. And it's dry and it's desolate. And the rain comes and, there's this new hope and this new life and this joy and this beauty. And it's this picture of restoration. This picture of hopefulness. And here at the end of Ezekiel's vision, we get the same thing. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people. I'm going to open your graves, bring you up from them, and bring you back to the land of Israel. Just when all hope seems lost, just when we find ourselves in a place of exile, a dry valley of guilt or grief or despair, or at the foot of the cross of Christ, we remember that God is there to restore our hope, that all is not lost, that all is never lost with God, for our God is a God of resurrection and new life. But more on that in a couple weeks' time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this vision of Ezekiel. We thank you for how much it must have encouraged the people of Israel in their state of despair and hopelessness. And we pray that it would have the same impact on us this day and on many people who could receive your word and your breath of life, your Spirit, and be restored and know that you are with them, that you are there for them, and that you have sent Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, and that through him you promise to restore all things in heaven and on earth. Lord, give us such a hope this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.